Hello, hello everyone. Shu Allegra here, founder of Grace and Hope Consulting. So welcome back. And we are having some very interesting conversations the past few weeks. I'll say, well, we always have interesting conversation, but I'm meeting new friends and allowing them to share the stories. So today I have Nancy with me. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. It's so nice to
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we'll be talking about resilience and, you know, and kind of, I'm interested to hear your story, how that relates to resilience and, you know, and what wisdom will be with you to share with others. So how does your story, you know, kind of relate to resilience? Even when you hear resilience, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, well, for me, resilience means not letting things that come into your life that you may not have any control over, mm-hmm. not letting them define who you are and your success in life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Things that, especially things that we don't have a control over, right? Because I think as human, we're all trying to, you know, figure things out and have control as much as we can. And then there are things that just happen that we totally have no control over. And, you know, and then when it gets there, it's like, what do you do with it, right? And I love, love, love how you say by not letting it define us. That I think is the key here. Things will happen, you know, but how you let it, you know, it's going to impact us in different ways. But what you choose to do with it, you know, it's what determines which path you go from there. Yeah.
Right. Right. And yes, in my life, I've had a lot of traumatic loss, but had a lot of gains and success. I made a major shift career-wise. Mm-hmm. And I went from, you know, very intellectual, analytical, biochemical research to a life as an artist, a full-time artist.
Wow.
Very big shift.
Yeah.
And just thinking and how I approach my daily life. And it was because of the losses that I've helped me realize what's most important in my life and what I really need on a daily basis to bring me joy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That. Definitely a good point. Like when grief happens, when we lose, you know, when we lose things, opportunity, people that matter to us, it crushes us, right? And again, well, most of the time we have no control over it. And we'll touch on grief in a little bit, but I just wanted to go back with what you said, going from being very, and you know, doing, you know, being what you did before, you know, in your career and shifting, like you said, both they're very analytical and, you know, as an engineer, you said, right?
Actually, I was a biomedical researcher.
So as a researcher, wow, yeah. So it's very sciencey kind of brain, right? It's like, you know, focused on the fact and, you know, finding all the things that are concrete, you know, and then to go from that to shifting to art, which is very fluid, it's very flexible. It's like, you know, it can be anything and everything. You know, science is looking for the exact answer. And then art goes, just be you, right? Whatever you want it to be. Yeah. And so I hear from what you're saying, it was that shift through losses in terms of being to identify, okay, what do I need to be happy? And often people, all of us, you know, we see our careers as things that fill our cup, right? And that brings us happiness. But often when we get to those places in our life where, you know, a crisis happened, a transition happened that requires us to pivot, we reevaluate things, right? Things. It's like, okay, it meant something in this season, in one season, but what does it mean to me right now today in this new season? And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of seemed like what the process you went through to kind of repivot yourself and then realizing, oh, heart fills my soul more than, you know, biochemical research.
For sure. I didn't feel happy doing research, and but I thought, well, you know, I've gone to school a long time. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then I had these traumatic losses. I lost several people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very difficult. And it was at that time that I started realizing, you know, how short life is and that I have to be driven by joy
mm-hmm.
to discover who I'm supposed to be. Because I don't think I was supposed to be a scientist.
Mm.
That's what I've discovered. I think art has allowed me to blossom and to connect with my vulnerability in a way that I could not before I started painting. And that's mm-hmm. that's creative art that I do is painting. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Wow. And so, yeah, many people like, you know, will spend time and money, right? And energy yeah. pursuing things that society tells us we must do. That's the proper course of it, right? And I know in my own life, I often joke to ask, how'd you get to do what you're doing? I'm like, well, through a lot of detours and delays, right? It's never been a straightforward journey. And had I known that this is what I wanted to do, this is what I was meant to do, I would have taken a different course back then. I would have saved myself some time and energy and money. But then now looking at it too, it's like, oh, the things that I've been through, those detours allows me to do this in a better way. You know, so when I started my journey, actually before I was in the US when I was younger and then went back to Africa. And so when I was in Africa, I actually wanted to study languages. I wanted to go and be a translator, just study a few languages. We're speaking English and French. I'm like, I'll study, you know, learn a couple more. And I saw myself as a teenager traveling the world and just, you know, translating to, you know, different conferences and trainings and helping people get the information they need in the language that makes sense to them, right? And so, but by the time I realized I couldn't come back here on time, like that while we're planning all this, then the registration for the university where I could learn languages was already, the cutoff date was passed. And the only university that would allow me to register late was actually legal studies. And I'm like, huh? You know, but I'm like, you know what? It's no big deal. I'll go and do it. So I actually did 2 years of law, of pre-law, you know, back in Africa, not knowing that honestly, it was, yeah. So I did two years and then came to the US. When I came to the US, I'm like, okay, you know, law here looks differently. You know, I had to finish my bachelor's first. And it's not like in Africa, I could just start from year one of college and, you know, go through the legal career. So I go and stuff people like, well, you know, you love to help people, you know, you have a big heart for service, you know, maybe go for nursing. That's where, you know, there's always going to be jobs in nursing. And I went for nursing. I felt, you know, miserably. So I couldn't pass anatomy and physiology. And so I'll get to the point, the science is not my thing, Nessie. I'll get to the point where, like, it was the cutoff day that I could drop the course right before I get that F on my transcript. And that's when I will cancel. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to drop this course because I tried everything. It's not working. So I did it one semester, second semester, same thing. The third semester, I'm like, this is not for me. Like, I need to pass anatomy physiology in order to even do nursing. It's not going to work. I love to help people. I don't mind blood. I don't mind, you know, needles and all that. But this is not anatomy. AMP is going to be the day for me. So I end up stopping. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure where to go from here. And a friend's like, well, you always have like that science, that business mindset. I'm like, true. But I think it's more because I have maybe a gift for administration per se. Not really that I was looking to be in business. But I had all these courses, credits I could transfer in. So guess what? I go, I'm like, okay, I'll sign up for business. It'll be the quickest one to get done. Because there was a lot of electives, right? So I could transfer a lot of my stuff already. So I do that. So my first degree here in the US, I get an associate business administration. But I was still like, this is not what I really want to do. I miss the helping people part, you know? So I go back and I do a second associate, which I only need, maybe, I think it's like maybe three courses to get one in social sciences. Because again, I was so too far off. I couldn't do one in social work. I couldn't do one in human services. I could do one in social sciences. So I just, again, it was like a potluck, combining everything I learned so far, threw into there. So I got that second associate. So then I transfer in from at Liberty for my bachelor degree. And they're like, you have all these credits. And the only degree we can actually make all this work if you do a bachelor's in multidisciplinary studies. So the joke goes, it's a bachelor in everything and anything and nothing. So with that degree, you could pick different cognates, you know, that you can focus on. Well, I already had courses in business. I already had courses in some, you know, social sciences and some, like, you know, psychology and, you know, and a few of those courses. And I love the brain. I love to learn about psychology. So they said, well, you can do that bachelor degree and then do one cognate in business, one in action, one in psychology, because I had enough psych courses. And then, like, we can pick a third one. And I'm like, well, my faith is important to me. And even when the way I approach life, my faith is everything. And I love to help people. So maybe we'll try, you know, Christian counseling. So my bachelor is in multidisciplinary studies, which, again, is nothing, everything and all at once. And then I focus on business, psychology, and Christian counseling, because those are things, at least the first two, were things that I already have, you know, accumulated back then. So back to all the detours, right? And then you get that bachelor's, like, okay, now what do I do with this? You know, I have to figure something. And then I go for master's in human services. And even back then, if I knew I was going to be doing counseling and all that, I'm like, oh, maybe then, you know, a different path. Long story short, all of those things been really, like, been all those detours today helps me do what I do. Right? And I did a postgrad in rehabilitation counseling. At that point, I'm like, okay, now I know what I want to do. Now, you know, I figured this out, you know, in my 30s, figured this out. I think I know what I want to do. But it's never this or that. That's the story I'm trying to get to. It's often we think, okay, it has to be one thing or the other. But exactly. Sometimes it's a combination. It's like that potluck I was talking about. Everything that you're passionate about, you can bring all of that, you know, into one thing. So today I get to speak, I get to write, I do, you know, I counsel people, I do coaching, I do trainings, but it all evolves with one kind of a psychology mindset, you know, and that foundation of people, you know, people mental and emotional wellness. But it takes a lot of different avenues, right? And even podcasts here, you know, talking about resilience, it's all the ways to help people kind of, you know, achieve their mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential and live fulfilling lives, but it takes different detours. So that long story to say that, you know, we all find ourselves eventually where we need to be.
That is true, that's true. And if you focus on your heart and what makes you happy, then you're going to be happy and mm-hmm. you're gonna have passion for what you do, mm-hmm. and that is going to be expressed to your audience, whatever route that is, through art or just through speaking or you know, some form of connection with people. Mm-hmm. But I completely believe that you just have to, even if you take a circuitous route, it's just a little side path, but yes. All of these little side paths take you on the journey that you're meant to be on. Mm-hmm. It sort of becomes your superpower because you're different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gone these different routes that they may not have. So your experiences are very different from
you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. What you're saying about, you know, you're different, you're not like everybody else, because often people say, well, there's a lot of artists out there, right? There's a lot of writers, a lot of speakers, you know, I can't just be one of them, but you're actually never one of them, because what you bring to the table encompasses all the experiences you had, right? And that journey that you've been through all comes and you bring all of that to the table in what you do, you know? And so it never looks just like the same person, the next writer, the next artist, because you are, you know, bringing those things that are unique to you that nobody else can experience, that insight, you know, that perspective that's different than, you know, everybody, anybody else. That's a really good point. So I want to ask you a question about, because with that big shift, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure I get this when I start my business, people who love me well enough say, like, you know, you can have a stable career. You know, why would you want to go do something that's so risky? You know, you have a family to feed. You have all this stuff to do. Like, this is not, it's not responsible, right? So to talk to me about that journey for you, like when you made that shift, like, oh, I'm not going to be a biochemical researcher anymore. I want to be an artist. I'm sure that was a transition that was hard. Not maybe just for you, but people around you to kind of accept that change. Because, you know, what they say, artists don't, you know, are starving. Don't make it feed themselves, right?
It was very difficult. It came at a time in my life where my husband and I were financially doing well. Mm. And, I felt like I could, you know, stop working and not have an income, at least for a while. Mm-hmm. So it worked out well, but then my husband became disabled on a permanent basis. And so he had to undergo a shift as well. And that also created a lot of difficulty because I wasn't, you know, making very much money at that point as an artist. But we both made our own shifts and able to continue to work in the home, you know, from home and make an income. And I have my studio in our home and I'm able to, you know, supplement our income through the sales of my art. So, I'm very fortunate, and it was very scary at first. Not knowing, you know, how the bills will be paid and that, but I'm very confident that if you have faith and if you are very driven and you're focusing on a heart-centered type business, that you're successful. You just have to focus, work hard, and allow yourself to make mistakes along the way, but not let those mistakes deter you from being a success. And I feel like everything is based upon choices. We choose to be happy. We choose to learn how to do something that's scary. It's about choice, and you have to make choices that take you on the journey that you were intended to be on. So that's the way I roll, and it works for me. I'm extremely happy with what I'm doing. And I have definitely not let losses or other types of trauma in my life keep me from my goals.
Yeah, and it's that choice, back to that idea of choice, right? It's choosing that what is happening now is not going to define me. It's choosing that I'm going to find ways to be happy, you know, and then you follow suit. And that's how you make that shift from, you know, what could have been a heartbreak to, you know, resilience, finding that strength to do that. And I want to piggyback on, as you're talking, actually, as you're talking about, you know, the risk, you know, when making that shift first. You did your research, per se, like you made the shift when you assessed that it was a safe time to do so, because financially, things were okay. But then life happened, right? Life happened, you find, you know, your husband became disabled, then you find yourself in that caregiving role. So that's another loss. That's another experience that you had to rise above. And so now you found ways, you know, outlet for you to process that for art, which I'm gonna ask in a bit here. But my point is saying that it's like, even when we check all, you know, dot all the I's and check all the, you know, across all the T's, there always, there could be things that still happen that are outside of our control. And then even then we have to choose again, right? To be happy, choose again to rise above, choose again to push through. And, you know, it's a choice. It's a daily, you know, choice. You know, for some of us, even it's minute by minute, you know, choosing, okay, today I'm going to be happy. You know, what can make me happy right now today? What do I need to kind of fill that emotional cup so that I'm well? You know, and art is such a good and healthy way to do that. And people often don't realize that, how therapeutic art can be, you know, in releasing, you know, trauma, you know, grief, stress, you know, anxiety, depression, all of those things, you know, it really makes a difference. Yeah.
It does. And I've been interested in art my whole life. But, you know, I've never had any formal training. I just, you know, I loved looking at art, and I really just did a lot of doodling and, you know, those kind of things. Number, you know, when I was a child, and that was about it. But as a, you know, after I made this decision, you know, I was painting sometimes, you know, all night long, just wow. because that's I needed that. My feelings expressed that I guess I just kept inside for a long time.
Right.
So that was really, I think what saved me was having her. And along the way, I've been able to teach myself techniques and certainly I believe strongly in having mentors. And I don't feel like I have to do this alone. I can read.
You know that, yeah. Get the help you need, whether it's professional or just personal support. But when we go through these challenges, you don't and should not be doing it alone.
No, that's I feel very happy and I'm very fortunate and grateful that I've been able to not let my losses keep me down, because I certainly could have gone that route.
Yeah. And again, you choose. It's a choice, right? Yes, no, it's not. When we say it's a choice just for people listening and watching, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's easy, but it's like every single day, what can I do today a little better to, you know, to fill the cup that I need, right? To find the strength that I need, to find the joy that I need. And her art is so good, because in so many ways, we can't find the words, you don't have to have the words. And even when I meet with people, you know, and people think it's just for kids, you know, it's not just for kids, you know, even adults. Sometimes words are hard to come. When sometimes a trauma and grief, you can't always find the word to even express it. But through art, whether it's painting, it's coloring, it's music, it's dancing, right? Sculpting, anything that allows you to use your creative side. We can Google this. There's a lot of research that proves that is impactful. That makes a difference in your how your brain processes the experience and how your brain recovers from that. So that, you know, with that being said, where can people find your art? Because now I want to check it out as well.
Okay. I am primarily on Instagram at Nancy Delahaye Art. Mm-hmm. And I have a website, but I'm having somebody make some adjustments.
Okay.
So it's down right now, but I will have a website within the next few weeks back up and running.
Yeah, so it should be good when we make this discussion live. People will be able to, you know, click on the website, and then we'll also add your Instagram there, so they can get a hold of you and, you know, and purchase some of your art as well.
Perfect. Yes. Yes, abstractly, and it's, you know, a very expressive type of painting. A lot of bold colors, because. Mm-hmm. Those are the colors that make me happy and bring me joy. And that's what I want to give other people is a feeling of happiness when they
love it. Love it. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for being here, but thank you for choosing life, you know, for yourself, for your loved one, for choosing resilience and pushing through, and now be able to share that art with others. You know, I'm grateful to have met you, grateful for what you're doing, and can't wait to, you know, share this with others so they can also be inspired and empowered to choose resilience and maybe, you know, explore some artistic way to, you know, to address some of the challenges that they're dealing with. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Oh, you're so welcome. So nice to meet you, and thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.